Then came the dark empire of Acheron, where cruel necromancers sought secrets of resurrection. They crafted a mask from the bones of kings and awakened its wrath with the pure blood of their daughters.
I live, I love, I slay. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, episode 187, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by Brian. Quick, save the slaves by rolling giant boulders on top of them, Dunaway.
I can't do that. But where is the egg boy? Is it in the mouth of one of these decapitated heads you brought back? I certainly hope so, because if not, I gave you one task. Now listen, listen, listen to the butt of my sword, you fool. Speaking of butts, always keep yours covered around the ladies. Now go, you still owe me an egg. Go, two laps.
Two more laps and give me an egg.
Wow.
Wow. Fantastic. Also with us, Randy. Hey, get your finger out of my giant nose hole, Jordan.
Wow. Aloha, my friends. I just I want to ignore my notes for a moment and say a few words. It's the second week in December 2013. It's the holidays. Thanksgiving and Hanukkah are behind us. Christmas and the New Year are coming. There's been a bad winter storm in the Northern Hemisphere, an even worse, way worse summer storm in the Southern Hemisphere. We are so very lucky to do this thing that we do for fun and share that with so many people. I just want to say to you guys and everyone out there, thank you. Thank you for your constant communication with us. Thank you for returning each day or each week to listen to these podcasts. Thank you for all of your donations and your sponsorships and your purchases. And thank you for participating. All the emails, the blog comments, the forum posts, the amazing stories you tell us in person when we meet up. It all counts for something, and that is really awesome. Happy holidays.
Ah! Perfect. Well said, everybody. Agreed. Nice. Concur. Finally with us without any music behind him. Brian, the old man from Avatar, had on some pretty sweet tear shoulders a bit.
Man, you know, Randy always goes before me, and he always takes exactly the same thing I was going to say. What is the deal with that? All right, I'll go to my backup. Jerk.
All right.
Here's my backup. Okay. Hey, look, I know we're on the battlefield. I'm covered with leather armor, but here, bite my dirty pinky while I carve a baby out of your uterus.
Right?
Jeez. Not only that, it's a Ron Perlman pinky, dude.
Icky Ron, you don't know where that pinky has been. It's been in Hellboy. It's been in the Beast.
It's been in Hellboy.
Were you bothered by the fact that everyone's face was so dirty right up until Jason Momoa grew up?
Yeah.
And then it's perfectly clean.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, somewhere in that time period, they discovered soap.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody's smeared in feces for what time period is this supposed to be?
Dark ages.
Is this when this is? I mean, because it was hard to tell. They had some pirate stuff in there, which led me to believe, you know, late 1700 kind of piratey times.
Right.
But then there were times where I was like, nope, this is like, you know.
I kept getting this. This is this own universe kind of vibe. Like right. it didn't really exist in any.
Well, and it's supposed to be like that, except but they've got, you know, Sumerians and
things
like that. So it's like, make up your mind. Are you in this universe? Or are you not in this universe? Yep.
I kept expecting someone to pull out a Glock, you know, and start making me think, oh, this is like that Titus movie or whatever, where it's all mixed up times and stuff. But whatever. It is Conan the Barbarian. Conan, you know, like TV, on USA
Conan
Today.
The O'Brien.
Or USA Today, USA Network. Conan O'Brien, or Conan the Barbarian, rather. Conan the Barbarian.
I prefer Conan the Buttbarian.
This is the, of course, a remake of the old Schwarzenegger piece of thing, which we've never done, but instead we did Red Sonja back in the day.
Yep.
You can actually get both of these on Netflix, but we opted to go with the new one because that's interesting and that none of us had seen it, and it'd be interesting to see what they do with something like this.
And we also kind of heard it was sort of an instant legend of a bad film.
Yeah. You know, like bad right out the gate.
Yeah.
Which is.
I saw this at the theater, so.
Did you really?
Actually, I did see it. Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that. All right. Well, people have no idea what it is because they've been living under a rock, so we're going to let Scott Fletcher explain more.
Conan the Barbarian. Based on the pulp fiction of Robert E. Howard, this action-driven adventure breathes new life into the story of Conan the Barbarian, a warrior who rises to defend the people of Hyperborea. After evil forces slaughter his family and fellow villagers.
All right, so there you go. Pretty much, it's pretty much the Conan story. I used to read the comics when I was growing up. Anybody else do that?
I did too.
Absolutely. Oh yeah,
I love them.
Yeah, what'd you think of that stuff?
Anybody? I liked it. I thought it was going somewhere. There's, everybody's like,
I remember reading the comics. I wasn't crazy about them then. Mm. You know, it was a big Marvel thing for a while, and then, obviously, it was books outside of Marvel before it became Marvel, and then I think Dark Horse.
Dark Horse, yep. That's where they got nudity. Lots more nudity in the Dark Horse.
Oh yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. It was the Marvel label that what was it? Epic that could do that sort of thing.
Oh, like, yeah, it was like Vertigo, their version of Vertigo that DC had going on, right. Whatever it was called. But it was some, they could do more adult themes and language and stuff like that. And I remember thinking some of that stuff was all right and okay. Mm-hmm. But this was in my sci-fi and superhero stage where I really didn't care about fantasy and swords and magic and stuff. Mm-hmm. That all came later for me.
Right. We were coming off the 70s that had a big rise in like the Conan and that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, we were more later, a little bit past that with sci-fi mostly.
Yeah, we were into...
Yeah, in heroes.
Yeah, yeah. We had our... I feel like the 80s was the era of, you know, Last Starfighter and right. Back to the Future and just things that had sci-fi slants, and we were all a little sick of fantasy. And we were coming off, you're right, a decade of... Like, even the music of the 70s, the rock and roll and the metal of the 70s was so fantasy-based and so Tolkien-inspired and... And to me, that seemed like old man business, and I wasn't interested. But now I'm kind of the opposite. Well, I still love sci-fi, and right now I'm kind of in a bingy mood for sci-fi. But we all love our fantasy now, and it's fine. So when I heard they were going to redo Conan, I got kind of excited, and I like Jason Momoa as a visage
Jason
on
mama,
screen. Yeah, mama.
Uh-huh. Right,
Jason, your mama.
He's cool in the Game of the Thrones.
Right.
There he was. No, spoiler.
When does that happen?
Right? Yeah.
That's the whole reason why I went to go see Conan the Barbarian to begin with, because I knew him from Ronan in Stargate Atlantis.
Was it Ronan was his name? That's right.
Right, right.
Was it Gonan or? No, you're right. Ronan. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I thought he was really interesting in that series. And when I saw he was in this, I was like, wow, a lead acting role? I got to see this.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He's terrible in it. It's really bad.
It's not that good.
Let me tell you something about his acting. He's it worked in Atlantis, first of all, because it's syndicated TV and it was what it was.
It was Atlantis. Right?
Atlantis, right. Stargate Atlantis. And he was, you're right. It was kind of a spinoff anyway. It wasn't Atlantis Prime. And he was, serviceable, but because he was just this grunty, unhappy alien man.
Right.
Trying to track down whatever the villain was.
The man who killed his father.
The vampires they had in that show. What were they called? Right. Whatever
Wraiths.
They were.
Wraiths.
Wraiths, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wraiths. Man, everyone uses that term when they want something scary in space. They're all Wraiths or... What were the Firefly ones? Reapers.
They're
either Reapers or Reavers. Yeah. You're either Reavers, Reapers, or Wraiths. Those are your three choices.
We like to start with the R sound.
Right. Cool. If you're a space villain, sorry. Too bad that's one of your things. But... Bottom line is it's he's got a presence and he was interesting in Game of Thrones, but he didn't have much to do. I mean, he was barking a fake language
and had to look good.
And his acting career started as pure Hawaiian. He was always a Hawaiian. He was Jason on Baywatch Hawaii. He was Frankie on North Shore and these TV shows nobody watched except in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And I don't think he really has anything to do with Hawaii other than those TV shows. It's not like he goes back there. I mean, he's from there, but you don't see the guy on TV out there on commercials or endorsing any political candidates or anything like
that.
Was he any kind of
like big surfer guy out there? Was that his thing before?
No, he's an actor.
I mean, right. Actor and model.
But he certainly gets to play surfers all the damn time. Yeah. Like he has this really particular look that people love about, to put on the beach to, run around in shorty shorts.
Yeah, yeah. And he did a lot of modeling stuff. If you ever want to see his modeling stuff, you do a quick, you know, brief Google image and you'll find.
Sure. Don't
go too far, though.
Lots of it.
Stay on the front page.
Married to Cosby Kid Lisa Bonet.
Whoa.
That's funny because I thought Theodore Huxtable was in this.
Shotgun in the hooch, right?
Oh, jeez.
Nice.
Go see Brave. What is it? Braveheart? No, Angel Heart.
Angel Heart, yes.
Yeah, see Angel Heart, not Braveheart. There's no shotguns in Braveheart.
No shotgun in the hooch.
No.
Braveheart.
Anyway, so there you go. Conan the Barbarian. Director Marcus Nispel. It's probably pronounced something more German because he's a German dude. I don't know how to say it. This guy you would know. So he's actually made things I'm into. I'm into, and I'm maybe alone here, and that's fine, but I'm into the remakes of classic horror movies. I like the Friday the 13th reboot. I liked the Chainsaw movies, the Texas Chainsaw ones.
Texas Chainsaw
movies. The newer ones. Yeah. I think that stuff is fun. It harkens back to these classics, yet makes them super hardcore and cool with, you know, today's better techniques and filming and direction and whatever. And I never felt like any of those were broken. They felt like good homages, acting's fine, everybody's doing their job. This movie felt like nobody knew what the hell their job was in this movie.
Well, and some of those.
Have you not seen any of these reboots that you didn't like? Because I'm trying to think. I know there have to have been some. I didn't think that the the Nightmare on Elm Street one was okay with Rorschach.
I still haven't seen that.
Which one?
Yeah. The one with the kid from Bad News Bears was
The guy who played Rorschach in the Watchmen film. Right. Jason
Jason
Three Names. Hey, Jason Three Names, get over here.
Jason Three Names. But it seems like I don't know. It seems like it goes one way or the other for me. There's no middle of the road. It's either a really good, decent, standing on its own kind of film, or it just doesn't have the magic of the original one. And I don't know if that's dependent on
the magic is
nostalgia,
the magic is hard to capture because you're no longer a 12-year-old watching this, you're an adult watching this, so it's really hard to capture that and to go way out.
Exactly. Yeah, and I'm even wondering, you know, if I were to go back and watch some of these original ones, would I still say, okay, well, yeah, this was crap, so they actually did improve it.
I feel like they did, or at the very least, they gave me a sense of what the taste of what the old thing was, enough to make me go, this is why I like Jason. And this is why I like Friday the 13th. And then,
There are definitely remakes that are superior to the original.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Like some take 50 years, like Scarface, and some only a few years, like the Thomas Crown Affair. You know, but if you pick a movie that has a good sort of foundation, but just wasn't a good movie, and remake it, you have a chance at making a better movie. This is not an example.
No. This is a terrible. This is the opposite of that. Wait, is there a new Scarface? Did I miss that? Who's doing that?
The original Scarface was like in the 1930s.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it had what's
his name? I bet they hardcore
Charlie Paul Chaplin, because I don't know anybody.
Well, Paul Muni was the
you don't know anyone from the 30s, guy. Brian? Is that what you're saying? No,
that's beyond my reach.
But hold on, was that version? And not to go too far in that direction, but was that version about like Cuban coke and stuff, or was it about?
He was a generic gangster.
Okay.
Was it like a little bit of like that piano music and then like little text that says say hello to my little friend.
No,
like,
you're no, it wasn't a silent film.
That's awesome, man.
But you know, I don't love the original 310 to Yuma. I think the remake is tremendous.
Oh, I love the remake.
I think both of them are good.
Yeah, the first one's okay, but the remake is amazing.
Ocean's 11 is another good example.
Yeah. I think so too. Yeah. Although that's the sequel to that's not so good. Third one's good. Yeah.
Third one's
good.
But
you know, I think Gone in 50 Seconds is the perfect example. Good foundation, horrible film.
I think he shaved 10 seconds out of that.
Abbreviated
version. That was a straight to theater.
You cut
version.
It down for it was commercials, so you got to cut it down a little bit. No, and but I agree.
Skype.
I agree that that's true. In this case, it just does not hold true. It could have. I feel like the potential's here. And I even think he's fine as a guy that's huge and strong and looks like a Conan type dude. But the kid who played him as a kid in the first, 20 minutes of the movie, more compelling than the rest of the freaking film.
Yeah, except he screamed all the time like he was Link in one of those early Zelda games.
And he had to and he had to keep fighting against wild men who sound like pigs. Why did they make them sound like pigs?
Right. I thought they were Tuscan Raiders, sure enough.
I love it. Yeah, I captured some of those guys with their pig and bear noises. That was
that
odd.
That was horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Odd, so odd, and it didn't need to be like it, you know. Oh, are they some sort of superhumans now? They're just regular in every other aspect, except they sound like wild animals.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not just that they chose bad sounds, but this film is one of the most abusive to your ears I've ever heard in my life.
Bad sound design, generally.
So much screeching noises and scratching noises and really high, like, metallic clashing noises.
But then, like, muted people talking. Like, the girl, you didn't know what she was saying half the time, and then there'd be a screeching man with a voice of a dinosaur. Mm-hmm. And you'd be like, well, wait a minute. You said the loud part quiet, the quiet part loud. What are you doing? Right.
And more Eat Smack and then a Hardee's commercial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you still have Hardee's where you live, folks, at home. Right. We don't have that anymore. It's all Carl's Jr. now.
Red burrito, green burrito, whatever.
Yeah. Carl's Jr. putting dirt clods in my salad since 2005. All right. So you got your Jason Momoa. You got your Ron Perlman, who plays his dad ever so briefly at the top of the thing. You got Morgan Freeman narrating this thing.
Chick in the bucket there.
Do you think Morgan Freeman ever says, no, that's just too silly. I'm not going to read that.
This is terrible. I'm not talking about this weird land. And the funny thing is he's doing it in the same voice he would do penguins or anything else.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. The giant flim-flam rabbits of the 24th century developed guns on their head.
The only thing that brings to this film is it makes it seem suckier because it's like Morgan Freeman's like way up here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then you like realize when he goes away, when he disappears and he's no longer talking, like, oh, man.
Kind of classes up the joint, yeah.
Yeah.
I really did feel like from his opening thing and all that visuals fine with me. I don't mind that it's kind of 300 video gamey. That stuff's fine. The brutality's fine. All that stuff fits the Conan thing. But something snapped after those initial scenes where I just felt like nobody cared anymore. Nobody was caring about them. Well, mainly I feel like the director gave up. This is boring me. I do not desire to make the rest of the film. And walked off set because it just sucked after that. And everybody was bad. All the acting was bad. The casting was hideous.
Do you know why? I think this is what happened. You know, when you film a film, you do it in stages. And so you may film the first part, you know, middle way through, or who knows when you may film it. I think the days that Ron Perlman and Morgan Freeman were there when they were filming, it was all class all the time. And that's when they made all the good scenes. And then when they were gone, it was just like, what are we even doing here?
Yeah, but Perlman may as well. I could close my eyes and I'm watching, you know, the Sons of Anarchy all of a sudden because it's just the same voice. He's not doing anything special.
It is. Oh, but what are you kidding me? Are you talking when he was all like, when he gave the instructions to run around the hill with the egg and not break it, and then they didn't listen to him, and he gave them the, come on, let's go, people.
Yeah, come on, just throw your hands up.
Like, when he did that, I was like, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, like Ibbot said, when he's got his world's dirtiest hand all over his wife's face while he's stabbing the baby to bring it out of her stomach. Did you have a flash moment like, oh my God, he's stabbing the baby?
Yeah, of course.
Yes. Like, oh, totally.
Yeah.
The way they portrayed that was so stupid.
Well, part of my problem is they showed the graphic of the kid in the womb and then the knife opening it up before he did it.
Right, from the previous attack.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah. Show us that view from, like, forget all that other, biting his finger. Who needs any of that? I don't need that. That finger looked like it was covered in pig feces.
We needed a vagina birth here. Face it. We did not need a C-section on the battlefield.
And I'm sure he's quite the qualified surgeon to be able to remove a baby expertly.
Oh, yeah, Ron Perlman? Yeah, oh, yeah.
Give me a second.
Yeah.
Cutting her open like a watermelon. Yeah. But apparently this happened so much that you didn't have a term for it because it was like they were talking later and it's like, oh yeah, it was a battlefield birth.
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, do y'all make practice of bringing your barbarian women out to fight when they're pregnant? I mean, I'm no.
Well, apparently they're really good fighters while they're in labor. She killed a dude right before this.
Yeah. Well, after she'd been stabbed, she still managed to take a big giant barbarian down or whoever he was.
Yeah.
In labor.
Stephen Lang, as we know from the Avatar movie, he was the general dude. And my favorite role, which was Ike. Yeah, he played Ike in the old Tombstone movie. and had uttered the famous lines. Hey, That don't play around here, law dog. That don't play around here.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget the excellent Terra Nova.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that
show.
Yeah, he was in that. That's right.
Yeah.
I like Stephen Lang, and I'm here to tell you, he was my favorite part of the movie. So more Stephen Lang, please.
Tremendous bad guy.
Yeah, he's
just
great.
Tremendous bad guy.
Always. Right.
He's great. Although those veneers or whatever he's got on his teeth now, they do not fly. They don't fly with the barbarian time.
It's like the, what's his face from There's Something About Mary, the ones that, oh, who's the flamingo kid? Matt Dillon had to wear had to wear for There's Something About Mary.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I think we'd be surprised at how many wear during the filming of movies.
Oh, sure. I'm sure there are a lot.
Yeah, sure. I think some of them are just straight up permanent. Like, I've got a friend who had that done, and they're part of his bone now. I mean, those are his teeth, and that's what he looks like. And underneath all that, he's a freaking chipmunk from high school. So it could be Stephen Lang. I mean, he buffed up for sure. Like when he was playing Ike Turner or whatever his name was, not Ike Turner.
Right. What does that mean? Turner's abusive husband?
He had big gnarly yellow teeth and some of that was makeup, but I think some of that was real. And he looked like just a dusty bottom fat guy in these movies and since Avatar really.
Did he seem condescending in this movie to Conan a little bit?
Yeah.
A little bit, wee bit.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's the same guy.
But it's a bit. Okay, so
everybody had the right.
We like Stephen Lang, but the character was created so poorly. Like he's way overpowered, and he starts out the film way overpowered. Then he gets the Mask of Power, So now he's ridiculously overpowered, and you're supposed to accept that Jason Momoa is going to go kill him with a sword.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yes, but he looked frail at moments, but he also had the double sword thing going, which was kind of cool.
That always works out for anybody with a double sword, doesn't it? Don't they always get killed, get a double sword thing
right,
going
exactly.
on?
Right, exactly. And when you think about it, a sword itself will cleave, but a double sword basically splits the ability of one of those blades to go through you. It's like when you lay down on a bed of nails.
Oh,
you
right.
don't get punctured all those nails are supporting you.
Yeah. Oh, right.
But if you
like
lay down
you...
on a bed of nail,
right.
it would go right through. Right.
Isn't the same things with like, it's not exactly the same, but walking on coals, there's a similar thing happening there where you're distributing heat in a way that doesn't hurt you. But a double sword is.
Dual wielding is always bad any way you slice it because you have a weak side. Dual wielding guns even, you have a weak side aim.
Yeah.
It's always bad. You'd way rather have...
Multitasking is a bad idea.
Going akimbo is what we used to say when we played a lot of Counter-Strike back in the day. Let's see. Rose McGowan could not have been a more annoying character to me. I wanted to strangle her and I like her in things, but I did not like her in this.
Even the Avril Lavigne lookalike that they got to play her as a young kid.
I can see that.
She did look like her. That's true. Yeah, she just
that's
pissed me off.
Rachel Nichols reminds me of Taylor Swift.
Yeah, she looked kind of like Taylor Swift, she also looked like the kind of actress that might be able to really act. And then she started talking. You go, what the hell is this person doing in this movie? She's terrible. Call
like she's
casting.
Clean one in the whole group too.
Well, that's true. Right.
And Rose McGowan's character was a walking trope. Like the instant you saw her. You're like, oh, that's going to be a witch.
Yep.
That's going to be a witch. I could tell you right up front.
She had Edward Scissorhands on, and she was she could tell if somebody was a pure blood just by poking them and licking their blood.
Right.
The only question was...
She's terrible at grilling food.
Yeah.
The only question was, would they develop to the trope of he's got to kill the girl, or would they develop to the trope of he falls in love with the witch, both of which suck.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's too bad. Just because she's all right. I think she's okay, Rose McGowan.
Right. You know? People who search for Rose McGowan also search for Marilyn Manson.
Mm-hmm. Of course they do.
They were a couple for a while, weren't
couple.
They?
Oh, were they?
They both had no eyebrows.
They had that shitty makeup on their top of their eyebrows.
Right.
Who else? Bob Sapp. Now, isn't Brian or Randy, you'll probably tell me he's some like UFC champion or something, right? Who is this Bob Sapp? Oh, he is a kickboxer. I guess that.
Yeah. Really? You didn't know
I
that?
Didn't know that. I don't follow that UFC MMA stuff, but I know that when I looked at him, I went, oh, probably a kickfighter guy.
Kickfighter guy.
Because he just looks like one, you know?
He was a football player who became a pro wrestler who you know, committed himself to mixed martial arts.
Mm. He's a tough-looking dude, and he is ugly as shit.
Oh yeah, and they used him repeatedly. They kept going back to the well of he's out in the middle of the of the fight, just destroying someone.
Well, he had been demoted at some point to like snake feeder or whatever.
Right. And he was Conan. Who was Conan's second hand
man? See, you're saying Conan now. You're saying Conan.
Conan, I'm sorry. Who was Conan?
Well, even in this movie, I know sometimes they said Conan.
Oh, that they'd say Conan?
Yeah, they'd say Conan. Yeah.
Oh, I always heard Conan.
Yeah.
All right.
So, I actually looked that guy up. He's an English actor named Nonso Anozie.
You mean the tropey guy. The guy that's in every movie if you have a ship and a pirate buddy.
And he's got dreadlocks and he's jolly and he wants to help. And
lots of wisdom. Also
Game of Thrones also.
Oh, is he in Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, they had a tropey guy like that.
He's Zarazon Dextrose.
That's the same dude?
Oh. Was he the guy in, what is it, Karth? The city?
They end up getting locked into the vault.
Yes, in his vault. Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Trope alert.
Trope alert. Black guy always ends up in a cave somehow. What's going on with that? Yeah, he is a tropey dude.
Movie called I Am Slave. I like that.
He's in a movie called I Am
like
Slave.
I don't like Slave. I just like the fact it sounds like I Am Robot. I just
Sure. You know the three laws of slavery,
right?
I don't know what they are.
Which reminds me of a silly trope that they forced into this
silly
film,
trope. There you go.
The story of Conan, going back to the comic books, is one of giving Conan a reason, like this long adventuring reason to avenge something, and then he goes and tries to avenge it. And in this movie, for some reason, they felt like, well, we really want this to be 7 hours long, so let's start with Conan can't get vengeance, and he's just kind of wandering around, and he's just going to save a bunch of slaves from some strangers, just, you know, to pass the time.
He's medieval Batman.
He is. Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's so very tropey. Like, why are we saving these slaves? Well, I don't know. There's some naked girls down there.
That was kind of like the first one. I was just like the one with Schwarzenegger, though. I mean, it doesn't fall far from the tree here. The same thing, except he was avenging his mother's death. Right.
But it's about the books do this. It's all about he runs into the ladies all the time, saving somebody or doing whatever. And he's the James Bond, right?
He is the James Bond of
barbarians.
Of barbarians, right. Double O Barian is what they call
double
him.
Double O Barian.
It sounds like a procedure, doesn't it?
Double O man.
I had to have a double O Barian when I was four. But the deal with all of that is I just never. Okay. Look, the minute he freed those slaves with giant boulders and somehow he didn't kill any of them but only killed the people.
Right.
When that
happened. Selective boulder time.
Selective boulders, right. When that happened, I went, oh, he's going to go now save people. And then I went, why is it in these movies, these stories, those books, the slave girls are the hottest girls possible? Mm-hmm. Nobody looks as good as slave girls in that world.
Duh, right. You don't make the slave girls work. Put them in the thing.
The boudoir.
You put them in the hot tubs and you go see them in the hot tubs.
All right. Fine.
It's, right. I, like you said, it's a German director who's coming off of like half a dozen remakes and that's all he ever did. You know, he doesn't have some sort of grand sense of making good film. It's like, you could even see he placed whoever did the blocking for the scenes of the naked girls placed the ones with the larger breasts up front.
Up front, yes. Yeah. Right.
Okay, larger breasts, come forward. Yeah. Come forward. Not you. Your breasts are not that big.
It must have been a strange day on the set, is what I'm saying.
I do not have a grand plan.
He's here. He's back here.
Right.
It's like The Walking Dead when you find out the way they do the makeup in those. They have a big zombie scene in a city. They'll have all the really intricate makeup people up front, and they're categorized. From what I heard, they're categorized just like that. So it's like the A's, the B's, C's, and so on. And by the time you get to D or E, you're just a dude with a little green paint on your face.
Dude in the back has got hand him a can of spray paint. He's like
rubber mask.
Right. So I like the idea that you would do that with your naked ladies. I think that's pretty funny. Yes. By the time you're E or D, you're a dude. You're not even a lady anymore. Right. They just think you are from a distance. So according to this trivia here, Ron Perlman, who played Hellboy and Conan's father here in this, called Corin was his name, previously voiced Conan himself in the video game Conan from 2007 and re-released animated film Conan Red Nails. It was a trip to the mall. It was Asian places that do your nails. It's fine.
This escalator is too slow.
By the way, and I don't mean this as a stereotype, but why are those always owned by a bunch of Asian folks? What's the deal with the nails and the
nail
Asian
places?
Folks? Yeah. It's not just me, right?
People are really good at nails. Yeah.
But have you noticed that, though? It's not just me picking it out. Every one of those you see, it's run efficiently and wonderfully and go there every time. It's great. This is not, I'm not knocking it. But
there's
always owned by some cool Asian
There's
folks.
Actually a really interesting book that I read a few years ago about Korean dry cleaners and Vietnamese nail salons and so on, and how these things all came to be in the United States. Right. And I can't remember the name of it, I'm going to find it.
Okay, find it.
You, while you're looking for that, I have an interesting concept. If you did live in another country, what do small business Americans always open in your country? What is
please
American open
please,
restaurant?
Please say barbecue joint.
That's I hope so. I'd be interested to see what us Americans are doing on the foreign front as small business owners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm curious about that, but I don't know. I don't know why it always just seems that way. When I'm there, I'm like, okay. No one else has interest in owning a nail salon in this country unless you're Asian.
Right. Yeah, usually lots of times this kind of stuff is usually family run, and it's usually almost maybe traditional, and it's usually based on the fact that you can get tax breaks and different incentives as small business owners as a person foreign to America. So
I love how far down this hole we've gone.
Book I'm talking about, and I just can't remember the name of it. Goes into cultural historical reasons for immigrants from certain places gravitate toward certain things.
They just work their ass off, and they are and they somehow take this corner of a Walmart and make this empire. It's crazy to me. I just love it.
I couldn't do it because the chemicals just kill me when I walk past those places. Kudos to them.
What's great is this all just came from me talking about Conan Red Nails, which was Ron Perlman's big acting debut as Conan. Jason Momoa, by his own admission, says he's afraid of horses, deathly afraid of them, which is funny because Game of Thrones had all kinds of horses in it, and
He was the horse king.
He was the king of the horses, exactly, who's afraid of water. And it says here, all the riding scenes had to be either faked or filmed with doubles. Now, I saw him a couple times on horses, and they were not faking that, so I don't know if this is either fake or that just meant if you're riding real hard and real fast or something.
Why can't we do this at work? I'm going to go to work, too, and I'm going to go, I hate picking animal here, so I have to do the hard work.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I hate reports.
I can't stand them. They scare me so bad. Somebody else has got to do this.
I hate file folders. I hate, whatever.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. So what else? Here's one. Jason Momoa enrolled in an intense 6-week training program as a stunt and martial arts academy in Los Angeles, California, IA. He did all this while he was still in negotiations to be in the film, and that's kind of interesting. So there's that.
Right.
How ugly was Ron Perlman? I just want to ask the question. Is there a gauge? Do we have a gauge for how ugly he is in certain things?
He's actually used as the gauge. He's one end of the gauge, and I don't know who you put on the other end, but it's the Perlman scale.
I guess so. Swings way his direction in this movie.
That's right.
Yeah, he shouldn't do the long hair usually. It doesn't suit his face well.
No.
Yeah. Mickey Rourke is like a 9 on the Perlman scale.
Oh, okay. There's a good way to put it. There you go. There's an example.
But you want your barbarian father to be
burly. Sure. Yeah,
right.
Sure.
Do
you
look
like he's
got
the crap beat out of him? Yeah.
But what are we talking about anyway? Is it sun damage? Is that what we're talking about?
I don't know.
A lifetime of bad sun damage?
He has.
He was dealt. He was dealt a bad hand to begin with. I mean,
he has distinct facial features. Exactly.
He's a potato with eyes and a mouth.
It's kind of Neanderthal looking.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
I mean that as a term of endearment.
Sure. I love him.
If you look at pictures of the guy, I'm looking at a picture of him at Comic-Con last year. He's got great hair. He's got fairly good style going on here. His teeth are all right, but his skin, every little part of his face is just so leathery and puffy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Puffy.
No, he's jacked up
looking. His sunken eyes. I mean, he looks like if Will Ferrell mated with a gorilla.
Nice.
That's it.
Wow.
You nailed it. That's pretty.
But you know what? I just want to say I think Ron Perlman is a stone cold fox.
No, you don't think that. You don't think that.
I want to see if there's pictures of Ron Perlman as a kid, because I'd be curious to see.
Oh,
you didn't see Hellboy? Like, he looked just like that. Yeah.
Perlman.
Speaking of
child.
Faces, mm-hmm. do you read about Jason Momoa taking 140 stitches to the face?
No, for this movie? What happened?
No, no, no. And like 5 years ago, he got in a fight on the street with a dude who cut him in the face and required 140 stitches.
Is that what the scar was seeing across his eyebrow there? Is that part of that probably?
Oh, yeah. You can see all sorts of damage when they give you close-ups. And, of course, you're like, oh, but Conan is scarred. No, actually, Jason Momoa is scarred.
All right. I found some pictures of him as not as a kid, but much younger.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is it pre-Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah, like...
You know, they did a really good job of making him look good for Beauty and the Beast. I'll say that. Like, the pictures I'm seeing of him when he was in Beast form.
My favorite is when he plays... You ever seen any pictures of him play Phyllis? What is this?
Phyllis. Phyllis.
Phyllis. Yeah, that's the one. That's the...
Look up Phyllis Ron Perlman.
Phyllis Ron... What? Okay.
Is that the picture of the woman with the cigar in her mouth?
Yeah. That's one.
It's like Travolta in
Frankie
Hairspray.
Go Boom. Yeah.
Phyllis
yeah.
Ron Perlman. Okay.
Yeah. Frankie Go Boom.
Oh.
It's an IFC thing.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Really?
That's awesome.
That's terrifying. Okay. Well, I love Google Images and all, but I could go down this. I could watch these.
Right.
Never. Yeah, that. I don't want to see him in drag. That's a terrible thing.
Close.
Right, great. What else? Oh, my gosh. There's so many things. We talked about the one trope, and I'm going to play it again. The must avenge the death of my father plot point, which is the whole motivation for everything.
The moment you realized that Conan was growing up with a living dad, you knew his dad wouldn't survive the first act.
Right, right. Yeah. Now, I don't necessarily begrudge the use of the trope so much because so many movies do it. I begrudge the execution. I guess what I'm saying is, and we don't say this enough on the show, we are not straight up saying tropes are terrible and quit using them in your movies. That is never our point with the trope. Mm-hmm. I think our point with the tropes are always don't use them as crutches.
Right.
If you're going to use one, go for it, man. Like, really dig that thing out. What's a good Avenge the Death of My Father story?
Princess Bride.
I was just going to
Six Fingers Swimming.
Okay, that's a good one, and you would never complain about it. Like, because it's awesome. It's a twist, and it's a great use of it.
And the way it's handled is you know, really good. Like, you know, the very end, he's like, there's kind of a surprise. Like, you're my father?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you the man who killed my father? You know. I think
Lion King's a pretty decent use of it. And it's very...
Wait, you mean like the Lion King scene they had in this one after he ripped the baby from the belly? Held him up right in the middle of the battlefield?
That was the one.
Wouldn't you have loved to have seen an arrow come by and go, shoo?
Yeah, that would be perfect.
It's like tropes in tropes, though, because in this case, his father commits the trope of the heroic sacrifice so that Conan can survive.
Yep.
And of course, he does it in the stupidest way, which is the globa lava. The old globa lava.
Oh, yeah. What's keeping that molten? You know, why is it hard?
All they got to do is stand there for a while, and it's going to not be a problem.
Right? It will take a long time, though.
But man, they showed that glob of lava hit right on his face. It was so disgusting.
It was like
he was wearing a balaclava made of a glob of lava. It was unbelievable.
I would tell me
that you went that whole way to be able to say balaclava, glob of lava.
Right.
I can't understand.
Tell me the show just ends now, because that's a pretty good ender right there.
All
right. Listen, I would just remind people it's not the first time a character played by Jason Momoa, even though he was being portrayed as a kid, helped dump molten metal on the face of someone. Just a reminder.
First thing I thought
of. Thrones.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. There you have it. Let's see. Another trope for you. How about this one? I like this one. Tough lady teaches Conan a thing or two.
Mm-hmm.
He could not be more misogynistic, calling her woman and yanking her around by her hair, and clearly has a male dominance sort of attitude about life. Right. And she's there to show you that I'm tough and that I can hold my own, which is fine, I guess. I suppose
that's part of the whole lore of Conan, though. I mean, that's kind of like
Schwarzenegger even did that. I mean, he did the same thing.
It's totally built into the story.
Do you guys like the Sand People? I thought they were cool.
That was cool.
Not quite the same, but yes. Yeah. Men made of sand. They were
best
cool.
Thing, but it is. That's such a 2000s and forward movie thing. Like, you take an established franchise and you have them do all these battles that are kind of okay. Yeah, these are the kind of things you'd see in typical barbarian. And then let's throw these bizarre magic things, because we really need to do some special effects fighting.
Yep. And let's if it's not this, then it's Big Scorpions. If it's not Big Scorpions.
Right. Yes. Clash of the Titans is a great example.
Yep. Yep. It's small snakes that someone sprinkled some dust on another giant, you know, death snakes. Like I think we are going to look back on that in this last decade and a half and laugh at that one day. We're all going to go, ugh, what were we doing? Why did you have to have this default thing in every one of your action fantasy movies?
Right.
Every time.
I just like death snakes like they're any other kind of snakes.
Right. Well, I was going to get a bunch of harmless garter snakes that are giant just rolling around going, aren't we gross?
Not in a movie, you don't.
No, that's true. What else? I liked how they... I liked how they seem to have all the specific instructions what to do, those Sam people did. So, like, they would be like, so she did whatever she did, just blew in there.
Right.
And then they all come popping out of the ground, brah, which I thought was kind of cool. But then they all seem to know, we've got to get the girl.
Right.
We're stupid sandmen, but get the girl. Like, they all had this great, great instruction set that they all knew where to go and how to get it. And
all week they've been training for this.
Yeah.
All week.
And how do those throwing weapons work? Like, are those made out of sand too? Because it seemed like when they'd hit something, they'd shatter.
They keep them down there with them in the dirt. Right. They got a stash.
Endless supply.
Yeah. They got a stash of Kroll glaives.
Maybe one of those spinny Kroll things.
Yeah. You got a Kroll thing over there? I sure do. Man, it feels like I had a little sand in my potato salad today. What's going on? Anyway, good stuff. Awesome blood tech. That looked all right. I usually don't like the cartoony CGI blood. I thought it was pretty good in this.
Right.
It was.
They used particle effects in it. So they had a lot of splatter in it.
Yeah.
It goes splatter.
But not just like squirts and blobs of it. It was like sheets of it. And what I mean by that is like, you know, it would be collecting it toward the end of it in big droplets, but the shooting out of the guy part would be like a sheet of it.
Right.
Like semi-translucent blood sheet.
Right.
That was cool.
It was good. Yeah.
I want to name my punk band Semi-Translucent Blood Sheet.
I'll go so far as to say things like the CGI cities, the, you know, the stuff added to landscapes, that stuff that you usually notice and go, ooh, wow, like an Escape from LA, yikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it was all pretty good in this movie.
Yeah.
They spent some money on that stuff and the narrator.
Yeah. I found this quote on IMDb that I think is, I mentioned it before. I'll read the whole thing though. It says, quote, the entire introduction sequence at the beginning of this Conan movie was great. Up until you see the Jason as an adult Conan, the child actor who played young Conan was broodier. And the sequence where he proves himself as a warrior was more dynamic and believable than most of the other action sequences in the movie combined. I really enjoyed that entire first portion of the movie, but it went downhill after that. So what do you do to fix it? That's my question. Nothing.
Sit back and
how do you salvage this? How do you salvage this?
I think for one thing, you keep making the same movie. What we like about that so much is this idea that Conan is challenged and there's a person giving him, you know, not giving him enough credit and this kind of thing. And that all dies with his father and with that first act.
Mm.
And he has to kind of carry the movie from there. And it just, That's the problem. It just wasn't the right story after that first act.
Yeah, I agree. Any other?
By the way, that kid who played young Conan
in
G.I. Joe: The Rise of Cobra played young Snake Eyes.
Oh, no way.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. There was a kid Snake Eyes? I still haven't seen that.
I haven't either, but it's...
Yeah, I did.
Kind of funny that he'd just get to play the younger version of other characters.
Right. Leo Howard. Good-looking guy.
Yeah.
Born in 97. Wow. He grew up quick, though.
Right, that IMDb photo looks like, I mean, the Conan movie was only 2 years ago, and he looks like...
Right. He plays young.
Yeah. He went in also in 2011, he was in Kicking It. he was young Rise of the Cobra 2009, so I didn't see that one.
Really?
Yeah. So can we talk about that trope, by the way?
He's only been like 12 years old. It's called a scrote.
My scrote.
Go ahead.
The trope of the pint-sized powerhouse, right? The little, like, I love that trope. Like, remember in the first J.J. Abrams Star Trek when Lil Spock kicks everybody's ass?
Yeah, Lil Spock. L-I-L apostrophe Spock.
Yeah. Oh, I love those. I love those scenes. And you can always have them in movies where somebody is a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, like you can just go back to when they were a kid. and have them kick somebody's ass.
What's another good example of that? Like, none of the diehards had little John McClane, right? That didn't happen.
Right. No.
But did any of it? I'm trying to think. There's something else like this.
So
Indiana Jones.
The ultimate, the ultimate for my in my lifetime, the ultimate scene where the pint-sized powerhouse brought the entire audience in a movie theater to their feet was when Yoda kicks ass in Episode 2.
Tina
hates
that too.
No,
I really hate it.
I'm sorry. Those you are so very wrong.
No, there I is am absolutely right.
It is so amazing. Like. I am never going to forget what it was like seeing that movie cold.
Now, I will
and
never
the whole
forget.
Audience was just amazed at
really?
What they
But it was just CG, little CG monkey. It wasn't anything.
It must be regional because my audience went, what? Oh,
it was like a little like a little pinball bouncing around.
Yep.
I did not find that at least a bit entertaining or impressive. That's funny. It must have been a Texas thing.
I mean, you know, it's like the whole thing of like, he's hobbled and he walks with a cane. But then when he's fighting Count Dooku, I get the whole humor mm-hmm. of that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it just seemed like it was played too far to the hilt. You know, it was too.
Didn't they make at one point Mini-Me in the Austin Powers movies? Didn't he like destroy Austin Powers?
Oh, did he? I don't know. Probably.
I think there was a fight between them.
I do not remember anything after the second one, and I barely remember that. I remember really liking the first one, and I feel like they just. Were there three? There were three.
There were three, yeah. Goldmember, Spider Shagney, and the...
Wow.
Jeez.
On the top of his
Brian
head.
Is really into it. I'll bet you there's a four. What do you want to bet me?
Oh,
I'll bet you.
That
is Mike Myers' big comeback. You watch. He's not sitting there. There's nothing to. I have no. There's
you don't
no
think
hints.
It's going to be the Guru? Love Guru too?
No, I think that tanked. I think they're done there. But
yes,
I could see them.
Yeah, there
Austin
you go. It's
Powers
been announced.
Four.
Yeah.
I'll bet that's coming. I haven't looked. I have no idea. But I'll bet you money somewhere somebody's doing.
I like that the cast. Credited cast sorted by blah blah blah. Mike Myers playing Austin Powers. Rumored. if we can free him up for this, he's in.
Hold on, there's a listing then? I didn't even look.
There's already a listing.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. All right, so Powers. Let's just take a look here. What year? When's it say?
I don't think it even says.
Huh. Yeah. In development, see, Austin Powers 4.
Status unknown.
I would have argued against that idea since he came into his Shrek money.
Mm.
I would imagine that Mike Myers is laying on a beach somewhere the rest of his life.
Yeah. Let's see. When was he born?
Unless
63.
He's a gambler.
63. He's getting on then. It's got to be. What would that make him if he was born in 63? I can't do the math.
He'd be 6 years older than us, so 48.
48?
No, 50, because we're in 2013.
Yeah, he's Daryl the Trek.
That's right, I'm 44.
Yeah. Good Lord.
I forgot how old I was there for a second.
Yeah,
still want to be 42.
That makes me sad. All right, well, let's get to some. You want to do some clips? Let's do clips.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got a bunch here, and they're all right. Let's see. Here we go. Let's start with, what's that kid's name? Right here.
His name... It's Conan.
That's a fun trope where movies decide you still got to do a little ceremony even though you're in the middle of a fight.
Yes.
How the crap do you name something on the spot? I can have a pet for a week and still go, I don't know. What do you think? Sniffles? What do you, Sniffers? What do you?
I wish you had asked him. Hey, Ron, what should I call him? Chewed up hurdy pinky finger. Let's call him that.
Wow. They did this. You just named a gun in Borderlands 2.
Sounds like a gun in Borderlands. It totally does.
Shoot up Hurdy Pinky Finger.
That's right. Made by the Faster Blaster Corporation or some bullshit name.
I think Star Trek did it better when they had Captain Kirk being born in the middle of the fight.
Oh, there's another kid. There's another kid. There's a scrappy kid trope.
Isn't that father.
Yep.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. That's him riding that car with a Nokia video screen. Some things about the first Star Trek piss me off.
And the weird thing is the gal from Conan the Barbarian, his girlfriend, was Kirk's girlfriend in the green lady.
You're right.
And
oh my gosh.
Everything is related.
Trek connection.
It's terrible. Okay. People don't yell like this. So here's your savage man voices. Okay. So just listen to this. And this is supposed to be people, everybody. Yeah. What the hell? It's like the T-Rex is after that guy in the outhouse.
Right?
Yep. So
he comes back to Ron Perlman with a string of heads and drops them on the ground and then spits out the egg. Like, you know, if you're Ron Perlman, when you say, you know, I was impressed with the heads. The fact that you paid more attention to the egg instead of staying alive takes some points away because, you know, screw the egg. Don't worry about the egg. Survive.
Was this even, is this even your egg? Where'd you get this egg from?
Yeah, where'd you get this egg, buddy?
This isn't the right color. I gave you blue speckles. This one has red speckles.
I kept it in my anus, daddy.
Nice. You know what else too? Didn't all the other, he lost half his warriors that day because the rest of those guys died in the fight or the run or the something, right?
All the other runners or all the other kids ran away.
They went back. They even said, let's go back home. This isn't worth it.
They should have them not run the path that crosses into dinosaur man land where they're going to get attacked. Yeah.
That's crazy. Right.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Here's one.
The egg survived this path.
Here is why Stephen Lang is cool.
There's no shame in kneeling before me.
Law dog. Should have said at the end. This guy was great. No, we saw and cut your nose. We saw it. You didn't have to tell us. I don't like that in movies where you have to yell the thing.
He was complaining about it later. You messed up my face.
My nose. Right. Oh yeah. He never stops complaining. That guy only complains right up to the point where Conan shoves a key down his throat.
Yeah.
Right?
He sounds like, here's the same guy.
Look what he did to my face!
He's still freaking out about the face.
And isn't that probably the worst thing? If somebody cuts off your nose, despite your face, isn't probably the worst thing you can put on it are leather straps that are connected to the rest of your head so that every time you turn your head or move or nod yes or do anything, move your mouth, eat food, whatever, those leather straps are going to be rubbing against your gaping nose hole.
Your gash of a freaking face wound is the worst thing ever that didn't look healed at all, by the way.
A freaking spongy clown nose would have been better method to treat that.
That 10 years that passed when Conan grew up, you'd think. It's something better than a giant leather mustache would be the way to deal with it. He reminded me of this guy.
Give me the remote control.
Didn't he remind you of him a little bit?
A little bit.
Did me.
That whole thing reminded me of a Brian Dunaway complaint from a few movies ago, which is when something happens to you and the character has to tell the audience that it happened to them when it just saw it. You know, he cut off my nose. We know. Why do you have to scream?
We're watching the movie. I paid for the money to watch the movie. We got it.
There were a bunch of examples of that in this movie.
Yeah, full of it. All right, here's some bad acting for you. Right here.
But you've taken all our food, all our weapons.
Yeah, you take all our food and our weapons.
And then naked lady.
Where would you have us go?
Great. That's great. What accent is that? What are you doing here?
That's French, it sounds like.
And she was a hottie.
And they both eye her up and down. Yeah, no misogyny here.
None at all. Not in the Conan universe. You kidding me?
And by the way, you're naked now. You're staying naked for the whole rest of the day.
Okay, I found an audio clip of Brian Dunaway making a BM. All right, you ready for this? Here it is. Right here. That's pretty typical.
Wow. I turned off my mic in the bathroom. Apparently,
at least it's not anything like my wedding night thing from last week.
We had people.
So many emails about that.
Yeah, people like that one.
Yeah.
This guy. Yeah. This guy's voice made me laugh, and I don't know what it was or why.
His door's sealed from within. He can only open it for me.
What he's getting? What I don't even know what he said.
Who was that?
It was the guy that was getting strangled. He was okay. So they were in there, and somebody, his buddy with the eye patch, is getting tortured in the other room. So he's talking to like a dude who looks like an aristocrat, who's acting all smug about it, and then started strangling him, and he went like this, right here.
His door's sealed from within. He can only open it for me.
I don't know what he said.
Only something about you can only open it for me is something.
It's pretty bad.
Well, I got my SAG card for that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. $2,000 a year. No problem. All right. How about voice cracking for Jason Momoa? Here it is.
My people were slain by a common bandit.
My people were.
My people were.
All right. How about this guy talks really fast? I love it. This is like the FedEx guy in medieval times, okay? So here he is.
For the sake of your people, we must leave this place and go to the monks in Hurricane yet. It's your duty. Do not hesitate and do not waver.
Wait, is that
a 7-hour movie? What are you doing? We got time?
Yeah.
Slow down. Was that Stephen O'Donnell?
No. Well, I don't know. It was the guy. He was the spiritual leader guy that had all the ladies around him when the main girl had to run and flee.
Right.
He got his head smashed against the floor by Stephen Lang later on. That's that guy. I mean, listen to that one more time. Listen to this.
For the sake of your people, we must leave this place and go to the Monks in Hurricania. It's your duty. Do not hesitate and do
it's
not
your
wait.
Duty. Duty, duty, duty.
I love that one.
That's no Morgan Freeman, that's for sure.
Nope.
Jeez.
Nope. The girl's also bad.
So, will you escort me to Hurricania?
What?
Will you, no.
What?
So, will you escort me to Hurricania?
Hurricania? Hurricania?
If I just say something random, you won't know what I'm saying.
She was really bad. Here she is screaming. There you go.
It's actually pretty good at that. So
it's all right. It's okay. Screams go. All right.
So I have a question about the storyline here.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Uh-oh. So, all right. So Rose McGowan at the very end, pokes her in the face with her little pointy finger thingies and then sucks on it and says, okay, pure. Yeah. She's the pure one. Uh-huh. But that was after she was getting busy.
No. See, you got it backwards. It wasn't about sexual purity ever. It was about the pure bloodline of the necromancy.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
But
Hogwarts purity.
They said more than once that she needed to be a virgin, which was the whole
reason
slept with her was to, like, he didn't sleep with her for really any other reason than to just de-virgin her.
Yeah. It's body double, by the way. I found out and did some looking around. It's not really her.
No other reason. Is that what you say when you?
Yeah. Although most,
I'm just trying to help out.
You don't get to have any.
I'll
you
take one for the any, team.
You don't get to have any romance when you've created this sort of intrigue. You know.
Yeah. Right. No, exactly. That was a little. You're not wrong, Brian, in that was a little confusing because they seemed to emphasize both. You needed to be the necromancer bloodline, and you needed to be a virgin. It seemed like. But by the time she said that, I went, oh, necromancer lady. Got it. I get it.
50-50.
Sure. I have no idea what this sound is. I'd like you guys to decipher it, okay? So here's the sound I heard, and I don't know what it is. Okay, I'm going to play it again. One more time. Any ideas?
Oh, it's when the guy gets kicked in the crotch in the naked booby bar scene.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember.
Or not the naked booby bar scene, but when he goes to find the thief.
He's so good at saying naked booby bar. That's just amazing.
Naked booby bar scene.
But this should have happened after. This should have happened after all that, though, because I captured it in order.
Oh.
And it would have been right after she was hanging there and kind of transforming into the other demon lady, and then
that's the very, very end of the movie.
So I don't know if that was. Hold on. Is that Stephen Lang? I don't know.
That's so weird.
That's too funny.
I don't know what that is. All right, Scott Fletcher, here's this full thing from the top of the show. I cut some of that out so you can get to hear the whole thing.
I live, I love, I slay, and I am content.
Content. And then he sang for us. I like when Scott Fletcher sings.
Conan the Barbarian.
There you go. It's pretty good. Not too bad. All right.
Sir Ian McKellen.
McKellen? Ian McKellen? Yeah. You shall not pass.
Ian McGregor. McGowan. Ian McGowan.
There you have it. All right. So let's be done with that and move on to what? Oh, I know what. Let's do the checklist. It's the Film Sack Checklist. Hire a dude to play Conan because he's big and athletic, but a shitty actor. Check.
Mm-hmm.
That's in keeping with the old one. Yep, did it twice in a row. Trustworthy Caribbean black sidekick friend. Check.
Got him.
And finally, Conan acting like a pirate for 20 minutes. Check.
Why not?
Star Trek Connections. Ron Perlman played Corin in this. He played the Riemann Viceroy in Star Trek Nemesis. One of my favorite things he's ever done. I loved it. Love what he did in there. And Rachel Nichols played Tamara. She also played Orion Starfleet Cadet Gala Gala in J.J. Abrams' Star Trek 2009, the girlfriend.
The green girl.
The green girl. Very nice. Now, Orion, is that where she's from? She's an Orion girl?
Yeah, she's an Orion girl. That's okay. Right.
Orion.
That's so dumb.
Orion girls.
That's such a 63 thing to do. You know what I mean?
Orion girls are easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these girls should be from Orion, and they should be green. Yeah.
Many boffins died to bring us this green dye.
Because, you know, when you fly out into space, all those stars in Orion are all close together in that position. They're not all, you know, different distances from Earth, and it looks like Orion no matter where you're at.
Yeah. They're the only girls worth mentioning from that particular area.
Mm.
They're the hot ones.
right?
Don't talk to the girls from Uranus. All right, the soundtrack grade from today would be an F for Forgettable.
I would say constant, C for constantly playing.
I didn't like it. I think it was too much.
So it was better than the movie.
Yeah, I think
it
that's
was one
fair.
Of those. It was one of those where you're like, "Oh, Dragonheart sucked, but the soundtrack was all right."
Yeah, yeah. Wait, Dragonheart. That's the Sean Connery voice Dragon Deal. We still got to do that one for the show. Well, how do we never? Oh, I think it got dropped a couple of times.
It got pulled off.
Yeah, it came and went. And we couldn't do it. That happens, man. What do you got to do? Twitter post. This is where you guys get to sum it up in 140 characters or less. We always start with Randy. Go.
Conan the Barbarian. What is more important, fire or ice? The answer is, of course, whichever kills you the quickest when you have to watch this piece of crap.
I'll take the fire. No, I'll take the ice.
I don't want fire to the face.
I don't want that. Yeah, that's not good. Let's see. Brian Dunaway.
Conan the Butbarian. Blunt force drama, like having a pregnant lady on an epic barbarian battlefield. You just know it ain't gonna end good.
Yeah,
but you might get to see a C-section of death.
You're channeling Norm MacDonald on your Twitter.
Oh, did you open with blunt force drama? Because if not, that is a great phrase to coin.
That's pretty good.
Blunt force drama. Really,
in fact, the alternative title just got ruined because that would have been a better one. Nice job. And then Brian Ibbett, please.
Conan the Barbarian. Introductory cutscene explaining your origin. Tutorial level. Mini-boss, 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 boss.
Very well. Very well.
That's why they don't put manuals in the games anymore. They're too simple. let's give this thing an alternative title just handed to me. Here it is. Oh! All right. The alternative titles are, quote, that last third made no sense. And, or, you can choose this one. Let her go, Indy. Let her go. emails. Got some emails. We got one here from, I didn't get his name. Dang it. Well, here it is. Film Sackers. Love the Triple X episode. Was laughing so hard, the lady in the car next to me thought I was having a heart attack. who laughs through their heart attack is what I want to know. My arm hurts. Ha, ha, ha. Anyway, thank you for continuing to do such a great show. I think you ought to do a movie which explains how Augustus Gibbons became Nick Fury. That would put an interesting spin on both stories. Right, keep on sacking. So he wants us to make a movie, is what he's saying.
We can make a movie. I'll make a movie.
Someone named Sejohn, S-E-J-O-H-N, which is a really cool name, said, Sejohn is how you say it. He phonetically spelled it out.
Then he spelled it. That's nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's weird.
Good job.
Hello, guys. Sejohn here. Love the show. You guys were having a discussion during the Terminator episode about why Arnold and Robert Patrick had to be naked to travel through time. While this is in no way a confirmable answer, consider the possibility. They were purposely sent back naked so they could find period-appropriate clothing once there. Why go out of your way in the future to costume them in the 1980/90s clothing, which may be hard to come by, when they can just dress themselves immediately when they get back in that time period? Much easier to have them find period-appropriate clothing once they are in the new period.
But not easier to find it while you're naked. Wearing anything would be better than being naked while searching for clothes.
A simple towel, it would at least give you enough to go, "Oh, I was just at the pool.
Yeah,
I'm good."
Somebody else said that they sent a big long email about he can only, and this is supposedly established lore for the series and for the whole universe, is you can only send flesh and bone matter.
Right, it has to be living tissue.
But then, okay, fine, but what like was the Robert Patrick guy's not living tissue? What is he? Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they make an exception for Metal Man?
And like you said, what happens to your hair, your nails, your...
Yeah, I mean,
this is a great academic topic. I love discussing that because it's interesting.
It's fun. Oh, right.
It's open-ended enough. Just enough.
Imagine if you made some clothing out of live ferrets.
Right.
And you were wearing that... At least people wouldn't be able to see your junk.
Right. I would like to see Robert Patrick all stern looking wearing that.
Right. Well, I like the idea of, you don't want to send anything. You want to send as little back in time as possible so that it doesn't disrupt, the space-time continuum. So,
yeah, of course.
The minimum requirement you'll have is your naked body. So,
so he finished his email saying, of course, this in no way deals with the naked Robert Patrick, who can form clothing out of his malleable metal form. He's just annoying, he is just enjoying the breeze, I guess, he says. keep up the good work. I look forward to future sackings. Sejohn. Thanks, man. We will, mm-hmm. and that's great. And I loved, I liked all the conversation that rattled around about both Terminator 2 and Brian's wedding night noises.
Right, right.
Really kicked up the dirt. It was great. It's fantastic. So thank you for that. If you'd like to send your own emails, you surely can. The email address is filmsack@gmail.com. Our next movie is Chud. Chud.
This you right. just said that, and I was transported back in time 8 years to mm-hmm. Extra Life Radio, and I'm waiting for Brian Dunaway to define the acronym Chud.
Do it, Brian.
I can't. I can't. It's a chick chicks hate you, dude.
No, it's chicks. What you abbreviated the U like a text message, like just right, a U. Right. Got it.
It's all new.
Chicks hate you, yeah. dude. I like that.
Right, you, dude.
Conan, hugs.
I will bet you if you go and listen to the first 100 episodes.
Underwater Dragons.
Radio.
I did do that a lot.
That actually is pretty good because that's what he was fighting is an underwater dragon.
Right? True story.
Conan hugs underwater dragons. No, I mean, just Conan has. That's pretty good.
Hunts.
Hunts. There you go. Hunts. I like it.
I like the hugs.
Hacks.
So there you go. Chud, next week. Watch for it. It's going to be fantastic. It's on Netflix streaming, so you can see it. I've been dying to do this one. I remember seeing it when I was very young, and I remember nothing. So,
and like I say, I feel like it's a call all the way back to the early days of Extra Life Radio because people like just love this movie. There's something about the concept of cannibalistic human underground
dwellers
that just captures the imagination.
What was what was that segment called, Brian? What did we call it?
Crappy movie of the week.
Yeah. Here, I'll tell you what. We have some longtime listeners on the show who listen to the Film Sack, who remember those days. I'm just going to give you a little treat here. So here you go. Right here. I'm not sure this is the right one, but I'm playing it anyway.
It's time for Extra Life Radio's Crappy Movie of the Week.
Hey, look at the memories that brings back, right?
Oh, I know. Yeah. Roll right into Film Sack.
That's
it?
Right. What does Howard Dean think? Yeah! All right. I don't know why that was up at the same time, so I had to play it. All right, that's it. Thank you guys for being here. Fantastic show. Be here next week for more stuff. Filmsack.com is the website. You'll want to go and find all the links to our previous episodes, including our commentary tracks, which we promise we'll be doing more of. More movies in the future real soon. Hope you're having a fantastic holiday time. Email us at filmsack@gmail.com. On Twitter, we are @FilmSack. Leave us a review on iTunes or wherever podcasts are downloaded. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Andy. We'll see you next time.
But if she doesn't, she will! She will!
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
His door's sealed from within. He can only open it for me.